All right, everybody. This is a great chapter because we get to talk about nature. One of the things I love about this chapter is you get to learn about God's personality and God's character. What's interesting when you study different chapters, and what some people do is, I'm going to use some big words, a theological statement. Everybody know what theology means? It means the study of God. And what happens is a lot of people, they look at the study of God and, oh, God is this and God is that, but they don't know God. So tonight, as we're going to go through this chapter, I want you to see this in his nature and character. When you see an individual, you see who they are as a person. And you see if they're funny or if they're, you know, more reserved or if they're outgoing or, you know you can trust them or you know you can't trust them. You know, there are people. And this is where, when we start studying this chapter, I want you to see who God is in nature and his personality and his character. Because when we study healing, healing is such a powerful chapter because sickness touches everybody. Anybody here ever been sick before? Twice? Anybody ever puke before? Would you rather puke or have diarrhea? What's the answer? Is there? No? Neither. Yeah, definitely not at the same time. That's a bad. I don't know who said that, but I agree with you. You know, this is where we start getting into sickness touches everybody's body. Now, how many of you have ever sinned before? Twice? Three times? Only once. So we've all sinned, and we've all been touched by sickness. So we've got to know what the covenant is about what God says to you and I as his children about our promises. So a lot of believers just don't understand the promises of God. So we live what I call substandard. So we live less than what God has for us. Now, a lot of people live that way. They, you know, it's just like, just say you won the Mega Bucks, right? Let's say $21 million. That's not bad, right? And we'd all rather win the $250 million. But say you won $21 million. After tax, you walk away with $25. I mean, you walk away with, you know, after tax, you walk away with, let's say, $10 million. And it's in a bank waiting for you. You have the ticket. But you never cash it in. How many of you say that's not a really wise thing to do? Of course not. Because whether you like it or not, the $10 million is yours. It's sitting there. It's waiting for you. But you'll never take it because you never bring the ticket. You never cash it in. And this is what happens with our promises with God. There are many people who have, well, we all have the promises of God, the covenant of God. And many of us don't ever step into the covenant, right? We never cash our ticket in. And therefore, we live in the shed when we could be living in the castle. And this is where we've got to change our mindset and understand that what Jesus did on Calvary, what Jesus did on the cross, was not just out of love and compassion, but it was also out of law. Now you need to recognize, this is law. Now we've all talked about the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. He talked about the keys to the kingdom. A key to the kingdom, what happens when someone gives you a key to their house? What's that? You have access. So if I give you a key to my house, whether I'm there or not, you have the right to go to the front door, open the door, walk into my house, go to my refrigerator, sit on my couch, turn on my TV, use my toilet paper. Come on now. You know that's love. Yep, throw a party. No throwing parties. You know, you all got all of that behavior. So no, just kidding. You got all of that. That's access. And that's what happens when you get a key. So, you know, we have keys to the kingdom. And that is God has given us the right to go into the kingdom of God. We know, according to the book of Hebrews chapter 4, that we can enter into the throne room of God boldly, which means we have the opportunity to go into and stand before God himself, and that he will give us the petitions that we ask him. John chapter 14 says that if we ask anything in Christ's name, he will give it to us. So there's a need to recognize that this is not just about compassion. What Jesus did on the cross was not just compassion. Yes, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, but he was also instigating law. Because the kingdom is based on love and law. And when it's based on love and law, you'll find that God will activate the covenant rights of the children out of love, but also he's obligated by Come on. He's obligated by law. So if somebody is obligated by law, then they don't have the right to say no. Now, it's amazing thing about God is that God created law, which he himself does not have the right to say no, but yet he did it on purpose so that you and I would have confidence when we ask. It's not so that we can strong arm him. If he didn't want to do it, he would never have made it law. He made it law so that you and I would have the right, you and I would have the position to go before the throne of God boldly and activate law. And when we stand in law, we stand in our rights. Now, the greatest thing that any nation can give you is citizenship. Citizenship is not just, hi, I'm a member of the United States of America. Citizenship is far greater than membership. Citizenship is the greatest thing that a nation can give because they're actually giving you rights. We have the Bill of Rights. You now have rights in this nation of America because you are not a member of America, but you are a citizen of America. And let's be honest, the greatest destruction a nation can do to somebody is take away their citizenship. Then they have no rights. So you and I, when we start talking about healing, we're not just talking about God, the God of compassion, who doesn't want to see you sick, but we're also talking about you and I stepping into law. Now, we all know we have an advocate or a lawyer. Who's our advocate or lawyer? Jesus Christ. We know he's our big brother. Amen? He's our big brother. The scripture says he's our big brother. So here we have our lawyer going before God the Father, who happens to be a relative, bringing the law to the Father and saying, this is the law, this is your child, I've washed them in my blood, they're good. So then God is obligated by law to activate the promise. So when we talk about healing, we're talking about God's personality, God's nature, but we're also talking about law. And you and I as believers need to understand this because so many believers, when they're ill or when they're sick, they don't ask with faith, they ask with passivity, hoping something's going to happen. And when you step into the favor of God in that manner, you're going to walk away with nothing because God is not moved by your need. God is not moved by your hope. God is moved by faith. The word synonymous with faith is trust. What do you mean trust? I trust that what God has written in his constitution, in law and love, that when I lay hold of that because I'm in right standing, right? I'm in right standing. If you are not in right standing with the law, then you are a lawbreaker. And as a lawbreaker, you don't have the right to grab a hold of the constitution. Does everybody know that if you have a felony that you cannot vote? Well, why is that? You lost a level of citizenship. And that's why lawbreaking is bad. Amen. Turn to someone and say, don't be a lawbreaker. Did anybody see that new show that's on? I just caught it. It was after the Patriots, of course, winning the football game. And, I forget what it's called, but they were running. They're like, they take nine couples and they take FBI people and Secret Service people, and these folks have to run and scatter and hide, and whoever gets found last is the winner of $250,000. Yeah, it's not a bad deal, but they're on the run. They're on the lam. Yeah, oh my. All the FBI guys, the CIA guys, the Secret Service people, the IT people, so he's like, and these guys are, you know, they're not in trouble. It's a show game kind of thing. But can you imagine if it was real? You're on the lam. Why are you on the lam? You're a lawbreaker. You no longer have the right for freedom. So the way that you and I position ourselves is by right standing. Now, the number one right standing is thank you for the blood of Jesus. Amen. I'm washed by the blood of Christ. Somebody here born again? Amen. You ask Jesus to wash your sins away. He forgave you of your sins. Now you have the right to be called children of God. Amen. Now, it's not that we have to sin. We choose to sin. We know that we have been freed from sin. According to Romans chapter 6, we no longer have the right to say that the devil made me do it or I can't control myself. We all choose to sin if we do that, because Jesus said you are no longer a slave to sin, but you've been freed from sin. Now you are a bondservant of Christ. So we're all in the position, when we are in right standing with the law, that we can then open this and grab a hold of the covenant principles, and God by law and love has to hear us and activate the supernatural to be released from heaven into our life here on earth. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in. That is done by legal precedent. And this is powerful when you understand this, because healing goes just beyond, oh, Jesus, please, I feel like crap, please help me, to, Father, I stand here in the name of Jesus, the one who cut the covenant. And I thank you that according to your word, by your stripes, I was healed 2,000 years ago. Anybody who's healed nowadays was not healed nowadays. Anybody who was healed now was all actually healed when he died on the cross and rose from the dead. You grabbed a hold of it. You ascertained it. Your salvation was purchased not when you got saved. Your salvation was purchased when he died on the cross and rose from the dead. But you laid hold of your promise. So it's imperative that we understand law and love when we start talking about healing. And that we want to be not lawbreakers, but law keepers, because that keeps us in the Constitution to where we can lay hold of the promises of God. So now there are churches all over the world right now, and I'm just going to tell you right now, in this area, this is the only church that teaches it's always God's will to heal. The only church.
What?
In this area, this is the only church that teaches it's always God's will to heal. Now, I need you to understand how horrific that is. That would be like you being a child of God, but yet your preacher never telling you, and you not understanding that you don't have to go to hell. Only giving you a piece of the gospel. It's almost like having one chocolate chip out of a chocolate chip cookie. It just ain't right. It's like eating one Lay's potato chip out of a bag, because you can't just eat one. That's right. It's like going to Dunkin' Donuts and not eating a donut. It's like going to Dunkin' Donuts and eating a granola bar.
Yes.
Something's wrong. And this is the wrong. You need to know that the church you go to has a direct impact on what you'll receive from heaven, because what you're taught is what you believe. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you've got to hear this, because it postures you in the position of receiving God's blessing for your life. Now, when Daddy says something once, you got to pay attention, correct? When Daddy says something twice, hey, hey, hey. But when Daddy says something thrice, right, run from or to, one way or the other, you know. But ultimately, if he says it three times out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let all things be established. What's the word established mean? Set in stone. So when God says something once, it's important. When God says something twice, pay attention. When God says something three times, set in stone. So I want to show you, I want to take you on an adventure. And I preached this actually 2 years ago in church. And some of you are going to be able to fall in with this pretty easy. But I want to show you that there are two things, two parts of the covenant that you can never separate. Now, I want to remind you about a covenant. A covenant is not just a contract. Now, in America today, contracts are broken quite easily, aren't they? In the old days, you shake a man's hand, that his man's shake of his hand was worth his word. If a man's word isn't worth anything, neither are they. Because that means the trust is broken. So if a man shakes your hand, that should be as good as a signature. Now here we have, in today's world, People break covenant all the time. They break contract all the time. Let's just talk about it. In the world, divorce is at 52%. In the church, it's at 51%. So what's happened is covenant is not kept even in the church world because many people have not been taught. This is not about you and I just being nice people. It's about you and I staying to the covenant of God because God has cut it with man. And anytime you see a covenant broken, remember you have certain covenants. Do you remember what they are for those who've been here long enough? You have the Adamic covenant. You have the, no, not yet, Adamic covenant. You have the Noahic covenant. You have the Abrahamic covenant, you have the Mosaic covenant, you have the Davidic covenant, and you have the New Covenant. So remember, the covenants are there because God is a covenant God. That means if God cuts a covenant with you, yay and amen. There's not one jot or tittle that shall pass away before it's all come to completion. So there's a need to recognize that God, when he cuts a covenant with mankind, he can't break it, or else he's a liar. And if God is a liar, he can't be God. And if he's not God, then what are we doing? So we're talking about covenant. Now, you've heard people say cutting a covenant before. Everybody has heard that terminology before. What that actually means is in the old days, they would literally take a lamb, an innocent lamb. Bah. You know, with the big brown eyes. Bah. Yeah, they would take that lamb, that sweet little lamb who's never done anybody any harm, and they would cut that lamb from snout to tail straight down the middle. Blood would be everywhere. They would lay the lamb on one side and the other. So on one side is half of the lamb, on the other side is the other half with the guts and the blood and the gore. And that innocent lamb died to cut a covenant. Innocence always has to die to cut a covenant. And then the two people that are doing the covenant together will walk in between the blood of the dead and the carcass of the dead lamb. Now, the only way out of a covenant was to die. And if you broke covenant, you were to die. See how it's much different from today? Yes, and if you smoke a lot of it, then you're really stoned and you can't even stand up. I'm sorry. But yes, it's great. But you did set yourself up, but I couldn't help it. I'm sorry. So, it's important that we recognize that this is about covenant and that God can't break the covenant. That means if you and I break the covenant, God's not obligated. There's a big teaching now on grace. You can live any way you want, and God's got to take you. God's got to do whatever you want. God's got to do whatever you ask. It's bull crap. God is full of grace, but he's a covenant God. So just as God's got to keep his end of the covenant, you got to keep your end of the covenant. I'm just waiting for one guy to say amen, because then I can move on. Amen. All right, let's move on. I got it. I didn't hear it. Here we go. So I want to take you on the adventure. The blood always represents forgiveness. The body always represents healing. Ready? Say it with me. The blood represents forgiveness. The body always represents healing. This is talking about the covenant of Christ. The very first time we see the blood and the body together is found in Exodus chapter 12, starting with verse 7 through 11, and it says this: They shall take of the blood and put it on the two side of the post on the lintel and above the door space of the house in which they shall eat the Passover lamb. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall eat it. Eat none of it raw, nor boil it at all with water, but roasted, its head, its legs, and its inner parts. You shall let nothing of the meat remain until morning, and the bones of the unedible bits which remain of it until morning you shall burn with fire. And you shall eat it thus, as fully prepared for a journey, your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, You shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. So when we talk about the Passover, the very first thing that everybody thinks about, remember the children of Israel are in Egypt, and Moses said, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, no. And so then the plagues came. I remember the plagues. And the last plague was that the angel would come and literally kill the firstborn of everybody that didn't have blood. Blood represents? Blood represents? Blood represents? If the blood was not over the doorpost, then the death angel came and killed the firstborn. Yes. Even the animals. Firstborn of all animals. So, God spoke to them and said, this is the Passover. Get it? Passover. Don't hit my house. This is the Passover. Put the blood. The blood represents. The blood represents. The blood represents. But don't just put the blood over the doorpost, because that's usually what all that you hear the preacher talking about. Well, the blood's over the doorpost. So they were the death passed over them. And they never talk about the rest of the story. There is a rest of the story. Okay? So it's in the same text. But preachers skip it all the time. I don't know why, but we're not going to skip it. Is that fair? I believe God's word is whole, and why should we dissect it just to make it fit our little doctrinal statement? So not only did they put the blood over the doorpost, but then they had to eat the lamb. Now, the body of the lamb represents healing. The body represents healing. The blood represents
forgiveness.
Thank you. I just want you to be with me now. This is important because what I'm going to show you is this isn't the first time, but you'll see this as precedence. Remember, if God says something once, you got to pay attention because he's God. If he says something twice, hey. But if he says it three times, it's set, established. So the blood is the type and shadow of forgiveness, and the body is a representation of healing. Now, in Psalms 105, verse 37 and 38, we see that in the book of Psalms, they're actually talking about the great exodus from Egypt and talking about what we just saw where they did the blood and the body. Now, what we're going to see here in this text, you're also going to see the third part of the covenant that Christ died for. Not only did the blood do forgiveness, the body gave healing, but also the covenant is also cut away from poverty. Remember, God sent Jesus and he paid also so that poverty doesn't have to be part of your life. Lack should never be part of your life. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
So here we go, Psalms 105. And he brought them out with silver and gold, no lack. He brought them out with silver and gold, and there was not one sick among the tribes. That's the verse. So here we have the blood represented so that none of the people in the house died. They ate the body. The body represents healing. There was not one sick amongst 2.5 million people. That's babies. That's grandma. That's grandpa. That's even their animals were not sick. There was not one sick among 2.5 million people. Why? They ate the body of the lamb. They activated the covenant of God. God cannot lie. Therefore, because they cut the covenant with God, what ended up happening was they not only had forgiveness, the passing over, not only 2.5 million people walked out without being sick or diseased, but they walked out with the third part of the covenant with money. They left with the wealth of Egypt. All three parts of the covenant. Now, we're not going to talk about the third part of the covenant. We're going to cover the first two. Amen? Blood and body. So that's the first time we see it. Here's another one. It's important to know that Jesus said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible declares in Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, the latter part of the verse, he says, I am the God that healeth thee. Now, it's important when you start talking about the I am, because whenever God says I am, it is the actual declaration of his character and his nature. So when God says I am, we've got to pay attention because this is who he is. Who am I? I am Michael Spencer. I am the pastor of His Tabernacle Family Church. I am the son of Janet Perry. I am the husband of Rhonda Spencer. I am the father of Cody, Chad, and Corinne. I am the grandfather of Sophia, thank you. Sophia and Jackson. I am. That's who I am. So God says here in Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, I am the God that healeth thee. The word healeth there is the Hebrew word for Rapha. It means Rapha or is Rapha, R-A-P-H-A, which means heals, which the word heal means in every facet of your life, not just your physical body, but your emotional body and also your soulish man. God wants you healthy. Turn to someone and say healthy. So whenever you see the I am, he's declaring who he is in nature and character. I love this verse in Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all of his benefits. Who forgives every sin and heals every disease. Blood and, amen. So we see in Exodus chapter 12, blood and Psalms 103, blood and we also see that in Psalms 105, blood and body. You can't separate them. You can't separate them. Preachers are doing it all the time. Well, you know, praise the Lord, you'll get your healing when you get to heaven. That's not what the Bible says. The preacher might say that's good religion. But God's not the God of religion. He's the God of covenant relationship. So as a person of covenant relationship with God, who is in right standing with God, you and I have the right to lay hold of the promises of the blood and the... How many of you have been forgiven? How many of you have a lot of sins you needed to be forgiven for? Amen? How many of you are pretty bad? Let's just be honest. No, don't raise your hand.
I'll admit it.
For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. If you lied once, you're going to the same lake of fire as somebody who's murdered. Sin is sin. Now, Brother Tiff got into the different levels of sin and different punishments for sin, but still, sin has the same result, and that is separation from God. So thank the Lord for forgiveness. How many of you thank God for forgiveness? How many believe it's always God's will to forgive you? Amen. How many of you are glad God desires to forgive you? How many of you are glad that he loves you enough to forgive you? Oh, my goodness. I don't know about you. I'm so happy. Amen. Because we all should be fry daddies. I mean, let's just be real. You know, but God so loved the world that he gave his son. But he didn't just give his son for your forgiveness. If you believe it's God's will to forgive you, you've got to believe it's God's will to heal you. And not when you get to heaven. But right now. Or else you shouldn't be forgiven until you get to heaven, and you can't do that. Because once you're dead, you're dead. And you ain't forgiven before that, you're in trouble. It's hot. Okay? So if you believe it's always God's will to forgive, you've got to believe it's always God's will to heal. You can't separate the two.
But I had an Aunt Lucy. She was the nicest lady the world has ever seen. And she prayed to be healed and nothing happened. She died. So it must not have been God's will to heal her. I don't know about what's going on in Aunt Lucy's house, but don't take the nature of my daddy and throw it away because of Lucy. You and I don't know what Lucy's all about. I remember one time I had an uncle that I loved dearly, was dying of rectal cancer. And he was praying for healing, and I was praying. I went up there as an evangelist, laid hands on him, believing God for a miracle. Yeah. Watch now. He took my wife and I at 2 o'clock in the morning. I couldn't understand why the manifestation had not happened. He took my wife and I. We sat out at his dining room table with his wife, and he said, I'll tell you why I'm not healed, because I cannot forgive that woman for putting me through hell when she was going through menopause. No, I guess she really freaked out. Like, she was, like, really nuts. Forgiveness will keep you from... Unforgiveness keeps you from healing. Because what is unforgiveness? What is unforgiveness? It's a sin.
Yes, it is.
So what does sin do? It breaks covenant. So if you're not in right standing, but you're a lawbreaker because you won't forgive, then how can you be in right standing to receive the other part of the covenant? Isn't it smart to forgive people? Amen. Oh, yes, I do. I'd rather forgive quick. So you and I need to be in position, and no matter what happens in experience, we need to lay hold of the promise. You must lay hold of the promise. Amen? Now we see it again. So we saw it here. We saw it here in Exodus chapter 12, Psalms 105, Psalms 103. We also know in Psalms 107, God said that he sent his word to heal us. The word, of course, word. Who is the word? Jesus is the word that became flesh and dwelt among us. The word heal there is the same word rapha. That means the complete healing of spirit, soul, and body. We also see it here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through 25. For I have received the Lord, that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body represents healing. It's my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this is my cup of the new covenant in my blood. Blood represents. So you cannot separate the two. If you believe it's God's will to forgive you, you've got to believe it's God's will to heal you. Why is that important? Because God is moved by faith. And when you don't personally believe it's God's will to heal you, you'll never position yourself to receive that part of the covenant. And if you don't position yourself to receive that part of the covenant, you got that lottery ticket in your pocket. You're never going to cash it. So you've got to believe. And the only way to believe is to get the word in you so you can see that it is always God's will. You cannot dissect this. You cannot take one and throw away the other. You've got to have both all the way to the nth. To the nth degree. If you believe it's God's will to forgive you, you've got to believe it's God's will to heal you. And not just when you get to heaven, but if God's will to forgive you now, it's God's will to heal you now. Okay. What's really interesting about this verse, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, remember he just talked about communion. He then says this. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. What's the word discern mean? Understanding. Some people do not, many times because of the preacher's fault, do not discern the Lord's body. They do not understand the Lord's body. What's the body represent? Healing. There are many people that are not healed, and the Bible says it right here in 1 Corinthians. It says, many are weak, many are sick and dead because they have not discerned the Lord's body. So there are people that have died before their time. There are people living in disease and sickness when they shouldn't have to. They did not discern, understand that the body represents. The body represents not just because of love, but because of law. When you understand law, so tonight the police knock on your door and say, we're coming in and searching your house. Not without a warrant. Well, you can't tell us we're the police. I can tell you why. Law. I have the law on my side. You cannot search my house. We believe in the law. But many believers have not been taught that the covenant is not just about love, but because of law. So if it's God's will, when you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. You confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. You asked him to be your Lord and your Savior. He washed your sins away. Those who call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. So now your sins are washed away. That's not only love, that's also law. When you're sick, you go before God and you say, Father, I thank you that by your stripes I am healed right now. God, I thank you the manifestation is already happening because I've received your manifestation right now, not only because of your compassion and love, because if you earthly parents know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your heavenly Father knows how to bless you. If you ask your father for a fish, is he going to give you a stone? No, absolutely not. We, as children of God, we have the compassion of God, but we also have the legal standing because we have our lawyer, our big brother, standing before the judge. And when we go to our big brother and by the Holy Ghost and say, hey, this is what the law says, Jesus has already bid our case, because before you even pray, he's already praying for you. That's just good right there, man. See, you can't fail when you understand covenant law. Many people disengage the law by talking. Well, I've got this sickness. Well, I've got that sickness. Well, I've got this disease. I've got that disease. Well, if it's yours, you keep it. But last I knew, it was nailed to the cross. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. You and I do not have the right to keep that disease. It's his disease. He took it for you. Why are you taking it back? You can't take back something that's not yours unless you want it. And if you want it, then don't complain when you got it. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God. Here we go. We're not done. So we saw blood and body. We saw in Exodus chapter 12. We saw Exodus chapter 15. I am the God that healeth thee by nature, who he is. We saw, according to Psalms 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, forgetting not all of his benefits, who forgives all of our sins and heals all of our diseases. We also know that in Psalms 105, they left Egypt with all the wealth of Egypt, but they also left. There was not one sick among the tribes. We also know that in, come on now, where are you? I saw you over here. I haven't gotten to Matthew 8, verse 17 yet. So we'll go jump over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we talked about the blood and the body. All these areas talking about blood and body. So let's go to the next one. The next one is found in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4 and 5. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Now, the sad part is that many people don't realize this. The Hebrew language is a language of word pictures. Does everybody know what a word picture is? So that when you're talking and you give a word, literally that word, if you took it aside and put it over here, it would be a picture. They could, these languages, it was Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. A word actually created a photograph. So when America, the English language, which is actually not a word picture language, tries to interpret some of the verses, they do the best they can, but they don't develop it into the word picture as proper. So we're going to do that with these verses. Verse 4, it says, for he bore our griefs. The actual word for griefs literally means sickness. What's it mean to bore? We're not talking about pig. Huh? Yeah, take a bond. You're wearing it. He wore our sicknesses. Now the next word, he also bore our sorrows. The word sorrow there, literally in the Hebrew, in word picture, means pain, physical pain, or mental pain. So Jesus, when he died on the cross, not only forgave you of your sins, he bore, put upon himself. He carried it himself. Every sickness, every disease, and every mental sickness, not just physical, but every mental. That means your emotional status. The Bible says, Jesus in Luke chapter 4, 18 said, I came to heal the brokenhearted. All of this is wrapped up in the covenant promise for you and I as the children of God. And those that are in the right standing with God, not lawbreakers, because remember, lawbreakers can't partake of the law. We have the right to call upon God to set us free. Amen? Matthew chapter 8, verse 16 and 17. And that even when he had come, he brought many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word. And he healed all, how many of them?
All.
What? Every one of them. I challenge you to go through. When Jesus went into a crowd, he didn't heal some, he healed all. Well, you know, it might not be God's will for you to be healed. I've heard that so many times, man. Listen, it takes everything in me not to jump up and slap him in the head. You laugh. I'm serious. Because what that says to me, you don't know God. You don't know your covenant. You know who you hear that from? Usually preachers.
That's true, yes.
Makes me doubly want to slap them.
Yes.
Because now what they're doing is they're actually teaching people that it's not God's will or God's covenant. They can't have it. Who are they to say God's covenant isn't for everybody that is a son, a daughter? Who are they to try to give God an excuse? You don't have the right to give God an excuse. He's God all by himself. He don't need nobody. That's right. So here we are. He said, he healed all of the sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. So, Exodus chapter 12, blood and body. We see in Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, his very nature. I am the God that healeth thee, Rapha, wholeness. We see in Psalms 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all of his benefits, blood and body. We see in Psalms 105, they left Egypt with all the wealth, and there was not one sick among 2.5 million people, blood and body. And in that part, we also see the breaking of poverty. We also see in Isaiah chapter 53, the blood and the body. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of his peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. They could say that because of the nature. I am the God that healeth thee. We then see, of course, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, when we take communion, the blood and the many people are dead, many people are weak, many people are sick because they have not discerned, understood the covenant of the body of Christ. Oh, we're not done yet. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. How can he say were? Because now it's past tense. You see, in Isaiah chapter 53, by his stripes you are healed by nature, by the very character of our Father. But in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, by his stripes you were healed because Christ has already died, risen from the dead. The covenant is completed, cut. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6, that if the old covenant had no problems, then he would not have had to replace it. And that Jesus is a mediator of a new and a better covenant with better promises. You and I stand in the greatest posture and position because now the covenant is completed, and that God, not only the God of love and compassion, will forgive you, not only the God of love and compassion will heal you, but by law, God through the blood of Jesus has to forgive you, and by law, through the blood of Jesus and body of Christ, he has to heal you. It's nature, it's law, it's love. Wow, when you understand this, you pray different. When you feel like crap, man, you wake up with the flu. You know what most people do with the flu? Well, I guess I've just caught it from somebody. Then throw it back. What are you catching it for? Man, when you don't feel good, man, you don't run around saying, I don't feel good. You just activated by your words what is in your life. You take authority over it. And then, in fact, I'll be honest with you, a lot of times when I feel like crap, I don't say anything. I just pray inside because I know my covenant rights. I'm not running around going, please pray for me. No, it's nothing wrong with having people pray for you. I'm not saying that, because sometimes we need somebody with faith to stand with us. But, you know, you have the right. You're the child of God. The Bible says, Hebrews chapter 4, you have the right to go before the throne of God boldly, outspokenly, and to bring your petitions, and that he will answer you. You see, when you have faith, knowing that it's your right, you're not going up like a little wimpish little dog puppy, hoping that daddy's going to do something for you. You're walking up with boldness and confidence and saying, Father, I thank you that in the name of Jesus, Jesus is already praying for you. Jesus has already gone before the Father for you. He's already presented the law to the Father. And now you go up before the Father and you receive the judgment. Everybody looks at judgment as wrong. Judgment means the law has been invoked. When judgment is released, that means the law is now activated. When I go before God, I want the judgment of God to be upon me by the covenant. Lord, I thank you that by your stripes I am healed. Now, God, by the righteous judge, has to keep the Constitution, and he releases the supernatural power of heaven to do what? To fulfill the law. That's the judgment. When you understand this, it changes everything. Because you don't go wimpish. You stand with boldness. Absolutely. Well, we know according to Isaiah chapter 53, he bore our sicknesses and physical and emotional pain. What did he do with them? He took them from you and put them on himself. What did he do with your sin? He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. So he took all of your sins. Come on now. All of your sins. And he said, okay, they're mine now. What did he do wrong? Love and law. Love and law. Oh, this is good teaching, isn't it? I could just teach this for hours. So another powerful thought about healing is to ponder this. Show me one person in the Word that Jesus didn't heal. Show me one. Anybody got one? One person that he didn't heal. He did. He wasn't there when he got there. What did he do? Well, this is the closest he ever came to praying to. You ready? So the closest thing he ever came to praying for a sick person was Lazarus. And this is how he prayed. Father, that they may know we are one. Somebody roll back the stone, please. Lazarus! Did he, oh, Father, I pray that you would heal Lazarus in Jesus' name. Oh, God. No. He spoke to the body. When you start studying healing, the one thing you'll find is Jesus never prayed for the sickness to be healed. He spoke to the sickness to get out. It's really cool when you start understanding how to move in healing. It's a lot of fun. Sorry. I was moving with the groove.
That was good though.
So you can't show me one person in the Bible that wasn't healed, correct? That Jesus didn't heal. Can you show me one that Jesus said, hey, come back Thursday. This is not God's will for you to be healed on Sunday. Show me one. Oh, you can't. Show me one person in the Word that Jesus said that their healing was to die and then they'd be healed. Last I knew, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I only do what the Father has told me to do. I only say what the Father has told me to say. So what does this mean? This means if you've seen Jesus, push anybody away, then you can pray, God, if it be your will that I be healed. But you can't say that. Because every time anybody who came to Jesus, he healed them. So we know that's the mindset of heaven. That's the mindset of God. Jesus never said next Thursday, so we know the mindset of Jesus, the mindset of God the Father is that you're healed today, just like you're forgiven today. And you'll know that Jesus never said, hey, listen, you're going to die and then you'll be healed when you get to heaven. He never said that. So where are we getting our stuff? It's man. Man's excuse. Man's reasoning. But you know what it does more than anything else? It delineates faith. It waters down our ability to believe that God's word is true. It is a sly little diabolical plot that gets people to say, well, it must not be for me. So they never step into faith. Therefore, they never activate law or love to receive their covenant right. It's powerful. I'm almost done. Here we go. Matthew chapter 8, verse 2 and 3. I love this verse because it answers everyone's question. What about me? Can I be healed? And behold, a leper came and worshiped Jesus, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately. What was that word? Immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. Now you got to understand what this means. Has anybody ever seen somebody with leprosy? You've seen person to person, right? I haven't seen person to person. You were just in Ethiopia, and you saw people with leprosy.
Not just now, but when I was in the 70s.
In the 70s as well? Now, did you see anybody with their face, any of their facial parts eaten off?
Yes, but the nose, the people were bandaging, and also fingers.
Yep. So actually, their flesh gets eaten right off them. So if you've never seen leprosy, look it up tonight on Google. Now, you need to understand the Jewish law. The Jewish law was that you never were to touch an unclean person. What's an unclean person? Any type of bodily fluid, blood, pus, or anything in that manner, if that came out of a person, women on your cycle, you had to actually leave the camp. You weren't allowed to be in camp during your cycle. You were considered unclean because of bodily fluids. So Jesus did something here. This man came up and said, this man with leprosy, we don't know what part of his body was eaten off, but we know it was enough that everybody knew he was healed. So there had to be some manifestation that somebody could have visibly seen. So here he says the question that everybody asks, Lord, is it your will to heal me? Is it your will that my body be healed? I know that you'll heal this one. I know you'll heal this one. But what about me? See, this is the question that recompenses faith and doubt. Because when you don't know, when you're not sure if it's God's will to heal you, then you'll never pray in faith. You can only pray in hope. So he asked this question, and this is an answer for every one of us in this room, everyone that's watching by live stream right now, everyone that's going to watch by archives. This is your answer. If you are willing, and Jesus said, no, I can't today. You know, I'm heading out to lunch. And if you come back next Thursday afternoon, I'll meet you right here by this tree. And then, you know, if you're still living, I'll take care of you. Oh, it didn't work that way? What did Jesus say?
I am willing.
He answered the question. And then he spoke it. Remember, he never prayed for sick people. He spoke to it. Ready? I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately, whatever body part had been rotted off reappeared. That's stinking cool, isn't it? That's stinking cool.
I think I would probably leave bricks in my pants.
Yeah. Well, I actually saw that. I actually saw that this fall with my wife. When they brought the pictures out of her colon, the doctor showed me all the cancer. He showed me. He pointed them out. This is a cancerous lymph node. That's a cancer. That's a cancer. That's a cancer. And he said, I've tattooed her colon where these things need to be extracted. I'm sorry. Good luck. Was his exact statement to me. And I said, thank you, doctor, because he's just doing his best. But I don't serve a doctor. My wife and I were standing on the... I'm standing on the law. By law and love. And 7 days later, she had more biopsies and another photograph, and her colon was beautiful. It looked brand new. In fact, where the tattoo was, now you got to understand what that means to my wife. My wife hates tattoos. Now, she doesn't condemn anybody who has them, but she does not like tattoos. I want a tattoo. She said, no, that's never going to happen. And so I will just at some point. She just won't know. I'm going to go with Brad, and we're going to go get a tattoo. So watch now. Not only was her colon brand new, but where they tattooed was 99% gone. You could just see where he stuck in the needle. That's it. All the black was gone where he tattooed it. And all the biopsies came back, no cancer, and the doctor had to call my wife. He tried to make the midwife call my wife, and the midwife said, oh, I don't think so. The doctor, the unbelieving doctor, called my wife and said, I don't understand it. When you have cancer, you just simply have cancer, but you have no cancer anymore, so I'm canceling all your appointments. The doctor canceled her appointments. I saw that miracle, and I have pictures to prove it. I've actually seen a lady who had, she was born with a birth defect, and she had hands that came out of where her elbows are. I watched her arm literally grow 2 inches. My cousin Wayne, when he was a kid, he went to the chiropractor. His leg was 2 inches smaller than the other. The chiropractor was born again, laid hands on his leg, and literally it grew out the rest of the 2 inches. My Uncle Harold, everybody knows Uncle Harold. Uncle Harold, I remember this as a kid. He had a truck fall on him, an oil truck. He was underneath it, working on it. It fell off the whatever he had it propped up on and landed on him and crushed his back. Couldn't bend over, couldn't move. He went to church that night. I don't know if it was that night, but he went to church the next time it was open. The pastor laid hands on him in the name of Jesus, and I watched him bend over and touch his toes, completely, fully bent. A complete miracle. We have another lady, actually Pastor Dan's wife, was diagnosed with breast cancer this year, and she went back to the doctor after getting prayed for and has no cancer in her body. Miracle after miracle after miracle. God is the God of miracles. God is the God that loves to heal your bodies. God hates disease. Why? Because it's in his kid. If you as an earthly parent had your kid have a sickness, would you be going, you deserve that? No. You want to help that kid. How much more your heavenly father? See, we're talking about nature. We're talking about law. We're talking about love. All right. By nature, God's the healer, not the killer. I've had people come up to me, why did God kill my baby? Why did God take my baby? Listen, now, if I offend you, I offend you. I'm sorry if your loved one died. God just needed another angel in heaven. That's a lie from hell. God don't need no angels in heaven. He already created them all. He needs you on earth to do his work. Amen. God don't need another angel in heaven. People saying that foolishness. God doesn't kill. God brings life. He's a life giver. The devil's come but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came to kill you like the devil. Oh, I'm sorry. That you might have life, and life less abundant, suffering, sickness, and death, and good luck when you get to heaven, you'll be taken care of. Oh, I'm sorry. So why do we preach it that way? Why do we live it that way when the Bible doesn't talk it that way? Okay. I can keep going, but I shan't. I don't know if that's a word, but I made it up and it works. I shan't go any further. Questions?
Do you know anybody coming from Corning?
Do I know anybody coming from Corning? Anybody here coming from Corning? Like Sundays? Pastor Dan will know. He knows all things. He's really close to God. He would know all things. You know why? He has a program that we purchased.
Oh, really?
Yes. This program, I forget the name of it, but this program you put in Corning, and it gives you every single person who lives in Corning by one hit of a button. Tell you their street, the area.
That's creepy.
That's important because what it does, it helps us. So when you get lazy and you stop coming to church for 3 weeks, we know to call you.
Oh, so he would know real well.
Oh, he knows. That's his job. Anybody got a question on healing? Awesome. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this group of people, your kids. God, they're not my kids. It's not my church, your church. These are your babies. God, I thank you in the name of Jesus, not my name, but in the name that you said is above everything. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that you are Lord. God, I declare that, decree that over every sickness and disease that's in this room. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I curse disease. Some people have been diseased since early birth. I just curse it in the name of Jesus, and I command it to come out of their body. Lord, whatever has been maimed, I command to be recreated. Lord, I don't want revamped, but God, a brand new one. Lord, put brand new in people's bodies. Lord, I even declare in Jesus' name, body parts that have been extracted, replace them. Lord, I declare if people have pins in their bodies, that the pins will heat up as a witness and the pins disappear in Jesus' name. God, I thank you for your miracles. You are a miracle-working God and love to bless your children, and thank you for the body, not just the blood. In Jesus' name,